Today is a special day in the life of our church. Today is a day when we are celebrating the long ministry and the long history of the women of the Church of God, both in our congregation and globally. You may have noticed as you came into the sanctuary this day that there is a display in the narthex of some of the goods and products that they produce and sell to raise money for missions work around the world. And I'd encourage you, if you're interested, to stop by after the service and see what there is to purchase. And all the proceeds go straight toward missions work. If you ask any of the ladies, they'll be glad to tell you what the money goes toward, what different things they support. But in advance of that, I'm going to tell you what they support, because I think it's important that we raise awareness of this group and its ministry and its history in the life of this church. So join with me in a celebration of the Women of the Church of God, which is now an organization nationally called Christian Women Connection. Heather, if you'd put up the first picture and we'll get going with this. The Christian Women Connection began, as many organizations do, in the dream of a solitary person. Nora Seans Hunter sat staring at a magazine cover. The image was a wheat field showing a wide swath cut by a combine. Having just returned from a 5-month missions trip, Nora was inspired by the image and by the Holy Spirit that the swath cut by missionaries was a mere strip compared to the broader fields of the unreached. But reaching the world with the gospel was a daunting dream in 1930. The Great Depression was in its infancy, and foreign missions were already being cut funding as the Church of God struggled to survive. Not only that, but women at home were stretched to their limits, keeping up with manual chores, mending clothes and homes, and garnering whatever income they could to make ends meet. It was challenging enough for women to keep a positive outlook in their own families, much less have a vision for the unchurched in other lands. Yet Nora's heart remained convicted. A particular verse of scripture came to mind, Psalm 68:11. The Lord gave the word, and the company of women that published the tidings is as a great host. She knew it was her calling to rally the women of the church, to publish the tidings, to spread the gospel at home and abroad. Nora began to gain support for her dream among women, ministers, gospel workers, and the Foreign Missionary Board of the Church of God. And within the year, 1930, the National Women's Home and Foreign Missionary Society was organized. During the 1932 Anderson Camp Meeting, 58 women signed as members of the new group. By the next year, the society had 948 members and had raised an astonishing budget of $1,000. Not in today's dollars, of course, but in dollars of the 1930s, which was quite a massive amount. The focus of the group was to promote missionary work at home and abroad. Women were encouraged to contribute out of the richness of their own talents, baking, cooking, sewing, whatever their gifts were. Even in the Depression years, these humble gifts raised thousands of dollars for missions. While its name has changed from the Women's Missionary Society to Women of the Church of God in the 70s and in 2009 to Christian Women Connection, the group's emphasis has not wavered. Meeting the needs of missionaries, educating the church about the unreached, and forming mission trips to inspire women of the church remain the top goals of the group. Christian Women Connection today includes 15,000 women from the United States, as well as strong groups in Africa, the Caribbean, Asia, and Europe. Our own branch of the Women of the Church of God, or the Women's Missionary Society, is called the Merlene Circle. And this history of the Merlene Circle was written out by the current secretary treasurer of the WCG group, our very own Olive Deitch. And she wrote out this history. I'd like to share it with you. As a way of remembering the way this group found its organization and what things it has been involved in over the past 64 years.
The Mount Haley Missionary Group was organized in 1950 with 11 charter members. Letha Hyatt was the first president. Grace Huber was vice president. Alice Huber was secretary treasurer. Marion Luce was historian, and other charter members included Gladys Hyatt, Mary Hyatt, Nyla Ward, Helen Smith, Anna Hancock, Maud Grice, and Mary Timmons. They met in homes until 1952, when they started meeting in the church basement, which in 1952 was all there was on this property. Their goal was to help missions around the world, to promote home missions, to help needy people in the church and in the neighborhood. Between 1956 and 1958, just 3 years' time, they made and donated 37 quilts to needy families. In 1953, they started raising money to help send Merlene Huber to Kenya as a missionary. Merlene, my understanding of it is, was the daughter of the pastor here at the time, George Huber, thank you. A sister to Ron Huber, who's still, Ron and Alice are still living here in Midland. Merlene was sent to, sorry? They've moved to Anderson. Oh, that's right. Things change. Well, anyhow. Contemporaries with us. Merlene was sent to Kenya as a missionary in the 50s. The ladies here continued to support her while she was serving overseas. They sold needlework and sewed articles at church bake sales held throughout the year. Later, they held salad luncheons at the community center. And Olive made a note that there was tons of macaroni salad. I wish I had been around for those salad luncheons at the community center. More recently, they've, of course, worked at many bazaars in the community. The group was renamed the Merlene Circle after Merlene Huber in 1955. Almost 60 years ago. Projects and activities carried out over the years, many of which are still ongoing, include supporting the Christian Brotherhood Hour, which is the radio ministry of the Church of God and has been for many years around the world. The Linen Chest for outgoing missionaries. More on that in a moment. Cookies sent to servicemen. Donating articles to sell at the missionary cottage at St. Louis Campground. Furnishing silverware to missionaries by collecting Betty Crocker coupons, helping to clean dorm rooms and the missionary cottage at the St. Louis campground, prayer retreats with neighboring churches, Bible studies, honorary certificates to outstanding workers, and Christmas parties. At present, the group supports the Linen Chest, Living Link, the Christ Birthday Offering, and a little girl through Children of Promise, as well as a student at KIST in Kenya. More on each of those in just a moment. The women usually attend 4 or 5 bazaars where they sell baby quilts, pajamas, nightgowns, scrubbies, dishcloths, Rata cutlery, and all sorts of other goodies. Again, some of those are on the table in the narthex. So what are these projects that the women of the Church of God are involved in currently? I'd like to share a little bit about those with you now. The Linen Chest is an amazing thing. The Christian Women Connection Linen Chest is unlike any other missionary support program in the world. It is often the envy of missionaries from other church traditions. This linen chest serves to provide career missionaries with household necessities as they serve, and again, once they return to the United States. CWC groups, or WCG groups, send financial support to the linen chest, which enables the national office in Anderson to shop in bulk for high-quality linens direct from the factory. Nearly $30,000 is donated annually for this linen chest. Missionary families receive such goods as kitchen, bed, and... I got my words mixed up. Kitchen, bath, and bed linens every 4 years. They receive Tupperware and silverware, appliances for field residences, like funds for washing machines and refrigerators, clothing allowances for the women missionaries. There's a wardrobe replenishment allotment for missionaries on home assignment every 4 years. College assistance for missionary teens. They'll give $1,000 per semester, which in the grand scheme of things is a little bit, but a little bit will help. Every little bit helps to add up to the total. They also give recipients. They also give aid to ministers' aid recipients, a pension fund for missionaries. And they provide housing for missionaries who are here in the United States raising support and visiting churches. That's the linen chest, tremendous ministry that we have in the Church of God. Second is the Living Link program. The Living Link program gives missionaries a team of individuals and or churches who are committed to support them through prayer, finances, and encouragement. It gives believers like us the opportunity to journey with missionaries in bringing the gospel of Jesus Christ to a place where that message has been silent. Living Link is not just another program. It is about relationships. It has given the missionary community a family that extends beyond borders to cheer them on as they face ministry challenges, persevere through difficulties, celebrate victories, and mourn tragedies together. Living Link is a constant reminder that we can do so much more together than alone. The partnerships are indeed a precious and valuable gift from God as we fulfill the Great Commission together. Currently, we as a congregation are Living Link partners with Bobby and Jenny Miesel. Their son, Moore, is just over a year old now. They are missionaries to Côte d'Ivoire, the Ivory Coast in Western Africa. They are completing their language studies. Well, Bobby and Jenny are. Moore's a little bit too young yet. But the adults are finishing their French language studies in France, and they anticipate moving permanently to Côte d'Ivoire in January. The Merlin Circle has, in past years, supported Sherman and Kay Kreitzer, who were previously missionaries in Africa and now are serving among Native Americans here in the United States. I went to school with their son. I remember Ryan Kreitzer. The Christ Birthday Observance is the third ministry that our women are supporting currently. And you'll see more about that, of course, next week as we get into the season of celebrating Christ's birthday. We call that Advent, the season of preparation for that. The Christ Birthday Observance is a tool that helps churches begin the journey of Advent with prayer, devotion, and celebration. Since 1949, the Church of God around the world has focused on the birth of Jesus through this instrument, with devotion, prayer, and giving generously to the Christ Birthday Offering. The offerings that we give associated with the Christ Birthday Observance are allocated in two ways. Currently, 60% of those offerings are given to Church of God World Ministries, which fund programs like the Christians Broadcasting Hope radio programs, congregational health and growth initiatives, leadership development, communications and publishing of curriculum, national prayer ministry, major events like the North American Convention and the International Youth Convention, family ministries to children, youth, and adults, global missions outreach and support services in 87 countries, disaster and relief response efforts, multicultural ministries, the Servant Solutions, the Board of Pensions for the Church of God, and our various colleges and universities, Anderson University, the School of Theology, Mid-America Christian University, Warner Pacific College, and Warner Southern University. Of the Christ Birthday Observance, 60% of those funds go to those causes. The other 40% are allocated to the Christian Women Connection, the women's group of the Church of God, which fund international women's ministries, training and leadership development, printed resources and materials in English and in Spanish, scholarship and internships, the In-Service Training Institute, young women's ministries, and other worldwide projects. Next up is Children of Promise. Our ladies support a young person, a young girl, and I'm drawing a blank on where she is right now. They support a girl in Children of Promise, and I'm stumbling on, it's in Africa, isn't it? Colombia, I'm sorry, thank you. There's a young girl that they support in Colombia. I was leafing through some of the records of the church, of the WCG group, and realized over the years they've supported many young people in many parts of the world, some from South Korea and other parts of Africa. It's really amazing the connections that this group has had with children over the years. Children of Promise is a child sponsorship ministry of the Church of God. It partners with Church of God congregations in 27 countries around the globe to provide food, schooling, health care, and spiritual nurture to children in need. It began in 1992, and the ministry now reaches children in poor, isolated villages, as well as those in teeming urban slums. Wherever children need help, Children of Promise wants to be there. Children of Promise was started jointly in 1992 by the women of the Church of God and by the former missionary board of the Church of God, what we now call Global Missions. Children of Promise is committed to providing assistance to children who struggle with poverty, lack of education, and disease. It also works to introduce each child to Christ to provide spiritual nurture. This organization is committed to helping build young lives all over the world that will be physically and spiritually healthy, as well as productive in the church and the community. And finally, the women of the Church of God here support KEMA, the KEMA International School of Theology. This is a seminary located in Kenya. It is a growing theological institution making a difference on the continent of Kenya. Situated west of Nairobi, Kenya, KIST is an educational community of faith supported by the Church of God in Kenya, Uganda, Tanzania, and the United States. Students from many African countries come to earn a certificate, a diploma, or a bachelor's degree in Bible and theology. Founded in 1997, this school's mission is to share the Word of God, His love, and His heart to the people of Africa. Our ladies here send a substantial amount of money to KIST every year, the KEMA International School of Theology, to help fund scholarships so local Kenyan students can be raised up as church leaders to spread the gospel of Christ in that nation. It's a tremendous ministry. I wanted to share all of these things with you to give you a bit of history and context for what the Christian Women Connection / Women of the Church of God / Women's Missionary Society has been all about for the past several decades. Our group has been in existence, like I said, since 1950, which is longer than many of us have been alive. For 64 years, this group has been serving and working and raising funds for missions work around the world, and it is right and fitting and appropriate that we celebrate them this day and the work that they have done over the years. Without their knowledge, I have gone a step further in recognizing them, and I hope you'll all forgive me for this, but I want to put you all on the spot for just a moment, if I can. I hope that I've included everyone. If I've forgotten anyone who's been a part of this group, please forgive me, and we'll make this right. But I have in my hands here certificates from the National Office of the Christian Women Connection, Women of the Church of God, certificates of appreciation for each of you who have been part of this group over the years. Each of them says the same thing, so I'll just read the one, and then I'll pass these all out to you. Certificate of appreciation. This is presented to, for instance, Margaret Hyatt, who isn't here today, but she'll get it. In recognition of your years of service in the Merlin Circle of the Mount Haley Church of God, your commitment and dedication have made a kingdom difference. And it's signed by Arnetta McNeese Bailey, the executive director of the CWC, and Naomi Bryant, the national president of the CWC. I have here certificates for each of you. Could I have one of the ushers, maybe Shane, would you come up here and help me pass these out? For Margaret Hyatt, Olive Deitch, Gloria Gussler, Linda Gifford, Carlin Hiltz, and Dorothy Oti, as well as Vivian Melton, who's not here today, and a friend of the community, Jan Hoggard Ryan. Would you ladies just stand where you are? And Shane, you can take a few, and I'll take a few, and we'll get these distributed to these folks. Thank you, sir. Thank you for your years of service in this group, Gloria. For you. Let's see, Carlin. Yes, yes, yes. Thank you, Ron. Linda. Linda, here's one for you. Yes, yes. Right. And Dort, you may have a seat, but I have yours right here. There you go. I have Vivian's here, but she's not here today, so we'll get it to her. That's all right. And thank you, Shane, who's Margaret, is not here. We'll get that to her. And Jan, Linda, would you? Yeah. Give that to Linda, and she'll pass it on to Jan. Thank you very much. Aha. Very good. It's all in the family. Would you join me in a prayer of thanksgiving for this group, for these ladies and the ministry that they have had over the years, and for thanksgiving for the ministry of the WCG in general over the many years that we've had experience with it? Would you join me in prayer? Lord God, we give you great thanks and praise this day that you have emboldened women from this congregation to serve in ways that they know how, in ways that they are skilled and blessed by you to support the work of the gospel of Jesus Christ around the world. We thank you for the many missionaries that they have supported over the years, the children that they have ministered to, and the many lives that have been influenced through their service in this place. We thank you for the Christian Women Connection, the organization that they're a part of that has so ably and capably served missionaries and other servants of the kingdom around the world for many years. And we pray, Lord, that this service would continue for many years to come. We know that we are better together than we are separate, and we give you thanks for the model of this group that has shown us how best we can cooperate together to serve you and to serve the kingdom of God by sharing with those around us the skills that we have. Bless these ladies who are gathered here today and continue to work through them in the years that are yet to come, that we may continue to give praise to you for all that you are doing through them in their lives in the WCG and beyond it. For it is to you that we give all thanks and praise, and it is in your name that we pray all of these things. And God's people said together, Amen. Amen. I have a few brief comments. Trust me. I'm aware of the time, I understand. The important thing today is hearing the Word of God and celebrating the work of God around the world. So our WCG celebration is very important. So also is this. The sermon text today is Matthew 25, verses 31 through 46. This is the conclusion to Matthew chapter 25. Listen for themes that appeared in the prophet reading from Ezekiel, because this is a very similar text. Matthew 25, starting in verse 31. When the Son of Man comes in His glory, Jesus says, and all His angels with them, He will sit on His throne in heavenly glory. All the nations will be gathered before Him, and He will separate the people one from another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. He will put the sheep on His right and the goats on His left. Then the King will say to those on His right, Come, you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. I needed clothes, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you looked after me. I was in prison, and you came to visit me. Then the righteous will answer him, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger and invite you in, or needing clothes and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and go to visit you? The King will reply, I tell you the truth, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers of mine, you did for me. Then he will say to those on his left, Depart from me, you who are cursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me nothing to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger, and you did not invite me in. I needed clothes, and you did not clothe me. I was sick and in prison, and you did not look after me. They also will answer, Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or needing clothes or sick or in prison and did not help you? He will reply, I tell you the truth, whatever you did not do for one of the least of these, you did not do for me. Then they will go away to eternal punishment, but the righteous to eternal life. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Lord Jesus Christ, we give you thanks for this word. May it ever inspire us and speak to us, to care for those around us, and so to be your people. Fill us with your Spirit this day, and encourage us as we strive to serve the least of these. In Jesus' name, amen. God is interested in bringing all people to himself. God is interested in reconciling all people to himself, forgiving their sins, filling them with new life, and living in relationship with them. The Lord is our King and our Shepherd. As Leslie read from the Old Testament prophet Ezekiel, God cares for his people. He wants to gather his flock together to save them, to judge them, and to see them treat each other well. We often don't realize the true meaning of serving others in Jesus' name. Sometimes we reduce this kind of service to being good Christians or even just good people, helping other folks. That makes you a good person, as if our being good was the ultimate destiny of humankind, to reach the greatest height that we can possibly achieve. But serving others in Jesus' name is not about making ourselves good. It is about revealing our true identity as the people of God. As God's sheep, as members of God's flock, we serve others not to prove that we are good people, but to participate in God's work of reconciling all people to himself in Jesus Christ. When we serve others, we demonstrate that God's mission is our mission. To live in relationship with God and with each other, a relationship that is marked by wholehearted love of God and wholehearted love of our neighbors. This mission requires something of us. It requires our involvement with whatever means, resources, and opportunities are available to us. It requires our participation, our cooperation, our sacrifices. And it requires our acknowledgement that those we serve are important in and of themselves, because God desires reconciliation with others just as surely as he desires reconciliation with us. Our WCG group, the Merlene Circle of the Mount Haley Church of God, has played a fundamental role in the life of this church for over 60 years. In many ways, these women have served the least of these among us, using the tools and resources available to them to make a difference in the world for the sake of the kingdom of God. To those ladies of the WCG who are here among us this day, let me remind you of the truth of this scripture. Whatever you have done for the least of these brothers and sisters of Jesus, those in the community, locally here, missionaries from the United States, children in South Korea and Colombia and Africa, and rising church leaders native to Kenya, whatever you have done those things for Jesus Christ himself. Your ministry has been valuable in the eyes of the Shepherd, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. But to you in the WCG and to everyone gathered here today, hear this as well. Your work is not yet done. Our work is not yet done. The Son of Man has not yet returned in his glory. We still encounter the hungry, the thirsty, the stranger, the naked, the sick, the imprisoned. We still have the opportunity to participate in God's mission of reconciling people to himself in Jesus Christ. Let the stories of the Merlene Circle of Mount Haley Church of God stand as an inspiration to us all. Each of us is valuable in God's eyes, and each of us can make important contributions to the kingdom of God through our service and our sacrifice. As we continue to serve together in this day and into the future, let it be our aim, Heather, that we will intentionally grow as disciples of Jesus and as servants in our community for the sake of the kingdom of God. When we grow as disciples, we grow in holiness. Our commitment to Jesus Christ leads us to live holy lives, set apart lives, lives that are dedicated to God's purposes. So with whatever resources are available to us, whatever skills we have, whatever opportunities come at our feet, we take advantage of those opportunities to feed the hungry, to clothe the naked, to visit the sick, and so on. We even welcome the stranger into our midst. There was something about that in the national news this week, wasn't there? As we serve, we realize that we are not so different from those that we are serving. Whether the other person is a neighbor down the street, a client at the open door, a child being supported in South Korea or Colombia, or a seminary student in Kenya, they and we are beloved children of God who are called into saving, loving relationship through Jesus Christ our Lord. Our service breaks down barriers and draws us together as God's people. Earlier this week, a friend of mine retweeted this thought. Isn't it fun that we get to use words like that? A friend of mine retweeted this thought, and I thought it was appropriate to share. The sheep and the goats, the parable, the teaching of Jesus here in Matthew 25, the sheep and goats is not about us helping them. It is about actively repenting that we have allowed there to be an us and a them. I thought that was really profound. It's not so much about us feeding the hungry or clothing the naked as if they need our support. It's about breaking down barriers between people so that we serve as children of God. It's not about there being an us and a them. It's about repenting and turning from the idea that we've allowed there to be an us and a them. As disciples of Jesus, we live holy lives, which leads us to serve others in humility, which reveals that we are united with those whom we serve as children of God. There's a circle here. Growing as disciples means growing in holiness, which means growing as servants, which means growing in unity, which means growing as disciples. The whole circle feeds itself. This is God's intention for us. This is what the kingdom of God is like. This is how we can participate in that kingdom even now, while we wait for the Son of Man to return at the end of the age. May Christ be glorified in our quest for holiness and unity, in our growth as disciples and as servants, for the sake of the kingdom of God. Amen. O Lord our God, we give you praise for having drawn us into relationship with you through Jesus Christ our Lord. And as we give thanks this day for that salvation and for the many ways that you have called us to partner with you, we pray that you would continue to use us, whatever skills and opportunities and resources we have, to feed the hungry and clothe the naked and to visit the sick and take care of those who are in prison. Help us, Lord, to be faithful to you in service so that we might draw closer to you and to each other. We give you ourselves and commit ourselves to following you in whatever ways you see fit in the months and years that lie ahead. In Jesus' name we pray these things. Amen.